We've read from Matthew already upon the subject of praying, Jesus agonizing in the garden, and now we read also from Matthew, but where Jesus not just prays, but teaches us to pray. So this is, you will recognize, what we have come to call the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer. It is from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And this is going to be our model for praying. If you're following me, I'd like to back up two verses to verse 7. Jesus is speaking concerning prayer. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I meant to mention earlier in our prayer time, Sandy Mann George's mother. Shirley Sue Mann is her name, and her service is going to be this week here at 10:30 on Wednesday, with the barrel at Cottondale and a meal, family meal to follow as soon as we return. Visitation is Tuesday 6 to 8 p.m. at Hawkins, and I invite our prayers for Sandy and her sisters and the whole family. I had put that in my sermon notes instead of my prayer notes, so there we go. Wanted to make sure that you know that, and that you lift Shirley and that you lift Sandy in this time and her family. So it's been quite a week. First full week of school. The solar eclipse in the sky on Monday. What a way to start a week. Sure, you paid a little bit of attention to that. It was hard not to, wasn't it? I had a friend from the Dallas Symphony Chorus that actually traveled to Oregon to take pictures when it was a total eclipse. And he's a great photographer. He had some beautiful and just stunning pictures. And you may be tired of seeing pictures of that by now, but if you're not, I reposted his post on my Facebook page, so you can go look at that. It was pretty impressive. And to think that such a thing could line up that way and be so beautiful, it's just an amazing reminder of God's creation and the order of things and how things fit together and things come into view or into alignment or into contact sometimes with each other. But it's really a pretty amazing thing, a pretty amazing gift of God's continuing creation. And if the solar eclipse wasn't enough, then, well, let's have a hurricane toward the end of the week. And obviously you've heard stories about that, and you know that we will still, for many days, hear the stories of the devastation. But we have family down there, and I'm sure some of you do too as well, and Houston and Port Aransas and other places along the way. But let's keep praying for them and lifting them in our in our hearts and in our praying. And in a week with so many events, let's just take a deep breath and perhaps that's why we're here together today, to breathe in a supply of God's Spirit. That is the very breath of life. I think that when we pray, and then as I've already lined out, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer some, that Jesus, the model prayer that Jesus left us, as a way of praying. But more important than how we pray, listen to this, is that we pray. And I'm afraid that the reality is we go through our days and our weeks sometimes, our meal times, our bed times, and we fail to pray. And we may feel like we don't have anything really to pray about. Well, if all we're doing is asking God for things and we have everything we need, then maybe we don't have to pray or feel like there's an urgency to it. But prayer is not always asking for things. There are many other ways to pray, and we've talked about some of these. We've had sermon series on prayer. We can pray prayers of confession, prayers of interceding for others, prayers of simply worship and praise. I like to sing those prayers. Prayers of desperateness, prayers of confession. Of course, there are many ways to pray. And I think when we pray our prayers by rote, while that's good, it's not enough. Added to all of that, thinking about prayers, I have one more thing to remind us of, and I remind myself as I do you, that our prayers are not all about talking. We tend to think of saying our prayers, right? Well, how about hearing our prayers? I think that when we pray to God, we should spend half or less of our time talking to God and the other half or more listening. I know that some of you are elders in the faith. You've been Christian people longer than I have. And you have a sense of what I mean by praying in this way. But prayer isn't just asking God for the things we need. It's hearing God impress us or think within us or enlighten us maybe through the Spirit of what we need to do or be or become or what we need to pray for maybe. It's easy for our pastoral prayers to turn into a list of pastoral care needs. And that's really how our yellow cards turn out to be. But I long to make our prayers more than that, to pour out our hearts before God and to ask God to refill them with God's goodness. For singers and athletes, and sometimes those two have a lot in common. For singers and athletes, breathing is vital. Well, really, that's true for all of us, isn't it? But even more for athletes and for singers, to breathe properly, to breathe deeply, to breathe into your lower body, not just into your from here up. When we breathe in and fill ourselves and hold the air and let it just sit a while, sometimes your eyes kind of black out a little bit and you can actually get a little oxygen high and your body begins to be energized and filled in a way that if you just breathe without thinking about it, doesn't happen. Take a deep breath and just feel, let it fill you. It's no coincidence that God's Spirit is often talked about as breath. In fact, the very word spirit shares the same root S-P-I-R, with our words, inspiration and respiration, and many others. Our word, spirit, the breath of God. In Genesis, it said the wind of God moved on the face of the waters. In the New Testament, it's the winds of Pentecost and the spirit, the flame. It's flame is another image, but it's also wind. The wind blew those flames and made them dance and enlivened and awakened them. The wind of God. In the beginning of Genesis, it says the earth was formless and void, and the wind of God blew on the face of the earth. Breath is important. That's my point. Breath. The very breath of life. I like to think of prayer as breathing. I like to think of singing as breathing, because we do sing upon the airstream and we sing to glorify God. How many days could you go without breathing, without a breath? How many minutes? Some of you might could go several minutes. I don't want to suggest you try that, because it's not healthy probably. But if you think about it as learning to swim, sometimes people get really fearful about learning to swim, and it's all about trusting the water to hold you up. And I think a lot of our fears of the water is a fear of not being able to breathe, being under the water. My mother used to worry when we went out swimming with friends or something, well, how deep is the water? And, you know, we didn't know sometimes. If it was a stock pond or something, we didn't know how deep it was. And that really scared her because, well, for her that was the unknown. And I guess maybe it was for us too. But if it's over your head, it really doesn't matter how much deeper it is, because you can still drown in it. You can drown in a handful of water. But her fear was about not being able to breathe, and breathing is kind of important. It's essential to our health. And I think that breathing is not only essential to our physical health, it's essential to our spiritual health. And when we sit down to meditate with God, some of you may nod because you know this. When you sit down to listen to God, sometimes it requires that we empty ourselves first. And the best way to do that is to take a deep breath in, hold it for as long as you can, and then slowly let it out. And be ready to take another. Fresh oxygen just fills your body and warms you and nourishes you. Breathing is that important. When I find myself stepping away from community with God, it happens. Don't be surprised. It certainly happens with all of us, each of us. When I find myself stepping away from that, I suffer. And sometimes people around me suffer as well. I don't mean painful suffering, but maybe worrying suffering. And maybe risk. Oh, we all pray when we're sick, but we need to pray when we're well. We pray when we're challenged, whether it's work or raising a daughter or loving your grandchildren. Whether it's whatever, we pray. And when we are challenged, we pray stronger. When we're sick or recovering from being sick, or when we're eating, sitting down to a meal, when we're sleeping or speaking or singing, all of those times are times to pray. I invite you to take a a deep breath and hold it. Just breathe in and hold that air inside you for a moment. How long can you hold it? Can you hold it 60 seconds? A whole minute? That's hard to do, and you think you might die if you do it. But swimmers do that. Singers do that. For one thing, it causes us to breathe. Oh, you can breathe now. Go ahead. Some of you weren't doing it anyway, but for swimmers and singers, it's one thing that causes us to breathe more deeply and to get more oxygen than we get otherwise. We all could stand to breathe deeply more often. Oxygen is an incredible gift, and it is such a sign of the holiness of God. It's a necessary thing. And I think it's a rich, rich part of praying. And we're all about prayer today. That first 20% of our membership vows. I will support and uphold this church and share my witness of faith with my prayers, my presence, my giving, my serving, and my witness of faith. We should use our breaths to bring in God's grace. This essence of meditation, this is the essence of meditation, to breathe in and to breathe out, to let that oxygen fill us with what our bodies need and what our souls need. The wind of God is creative. The wind or breath of God in creation hovered over the face of the earth. That's how the story begins. The Spirit of God hovered on the face of the waters. I can imagine a misty, foggy look, a presence, an ethereal but very real presence. And when the humans appeared, one version says that the Creator formed a lump of clay and did what? Breathed into it. Breathed into it the breath of life. The source of life was breath. And the clay figure became a living soul, and it all started there. Fear of suffocation, teaching one to swim, a child, or worse yet, try to teach an adult to swim. The older you are, the harder it is to learn that, I think. But teaching has to start with trusting the water to hold you up, to float you. And the more we fight the water, the deeper we may go. There are things to be afraid of in situations where we should be cautious, but fear does not help us. Perhaps it's good at first when it calls us to flee from a storm, or to flee from other danger. But sometimes fear causes us to flee too quickly when you're learning to swim or learning to play an instrument or to sing. These two things, at least, are best accomplished as young as possible before fear takes over the joy. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. The angels that addressed the shepherds about Jesus' birth started with the words, fear not. They had to set that aside. They knew that the shepherds would be floored to see a choir of angels or a cloud or twinkling stars or whatever it was out of the ordinary in the night sky. The angels began with the message, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Fear is what caused Peter to slip into the water and what prompted Jesus to reach out for him. Fear is what gripped the shepherds when they saw the star. What if that fear had caused them to miss the good news, to not be attentive to it? They managed to turn their fear into courage when they said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Fear is what caused the first humans to hide from God, as if they were afraid of God. Their fear should have been fear of taking control. Fear of rebelling, maybe. Or fear of hiding from the one who was their source and their fellowship. Right in the center of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks of loving enemies, of giving to the needy, and of not worrying. And right in the middle of those, Jesus teaches us the model prayer that we've shared already. And if we mean that prayer when we pray it, then we will not live in fear. We pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And if we do that, we are trusting God for our daily needs and trusting God's grace to forgive us for the messes that we make. One of the greatest assurances we have in that prayer is that Jesus calls God Father. Abba, Papa, our Father. Jesus speaks of God as Father. Jesus taught us that. It doesn't say that in the Old Testament. Jesus began that. And so we too call God Father, Creator, Originator. And if we and Jesus called God Father, then it truly makes us brothers and sisters with Jesus. The prayer begins with, Hallowed be Your name. Holy be Your name. And it ends with submission. Your kingdom come, Your reign be accomplished. Right here, right now. Not just in the heavenly kingdom, but here and now. Jesus adds, if you forgive others your sins, their sins, then your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you don't forgive others, then neither will your Father forgive your sins. Fear is a powerful emotion. It's not the strongest. The strongest is love. Fear and love are opposites. These are the motives that we should encourage, the ones that align with love. These are the paths that we should seek and walk. There are places where we can serve Christ and serve others in the name of Christ. And do so with the confidence of knowing that His breath and the very breath of God is available to us, ready to be breathed and embraced and ready to fill us. I invite you to embrace this thinking of God within us. We say God is spirit, and we believe spirit is breath. Let us breathe in God's grace, and let us claim our faith in Jesus Christ, our teacher and our Lord, and let us recommit to loving and serving Him. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open. And our doors are open. And it's time for us to step out and to step in. To welcome others in. And above all, to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the doors of our church and the doors of our hearts. Amen.